bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hit the bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Clint Scava, Chris Snead, and Jackson Frazier. Keep hitting us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments. Get your questions in for Grill Snead, a Thursday edition. And yeah, shown here on the chat line from CBS's horrible, awful basketball poll. Again, it's not the coaches or the AP. This is why I make fun of the CBS poll, because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Bumped up Texas 11 spots and
good job, boys. Good job.
Overreaction. Panhandle Raider says, thanks for asking about the layout of this tourney, Snead. I was about to ask the same thing.
Yeah, you know, the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, so much they don't usually have those anymore. There's a lot more classics. Mm-hmm. And they do that because they put these tournaments together with the hope that their championship game is going to be X versus Y. But they don't usually end up getting X versus Y. And so they'd rather have a classic so they can manufacture and said, okay, we're going to have this classic. And everyone's going to play everyone. But on Saturday night at 6:30 p.m., we're going to have this game. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on ESPN The Awesome. Yeah, and so everyone's going to get to watch that.
I will say, I mean, regardless, the nice thing, because every once in a while you'll have like a Chaminade or something like these, or just mm-hmm. some team mm-hmm. that is the host side, and it's like one of these things is not like the other. The nice thing, even with a bad Louisville team in there right now, this tournament, the best thing it does for you is help you towards what eventually will be Big 12 play, right? I mean, it's going to progress your young players.
Yeah.
It's going to give them some real competition for multiple days in a row.
Yeah.
And even if things go south, I mean, at worst, you're playing a good Ohio State or Cincinnati squad, and at best, I mean, you're playing, well, of course, Creighton to start out, but you're maybe finding your way against an Arkansas or an Arizona. Regardless, it's great to be in this. And if you're looking for a little bit of history, the only team that can win this who has won the Maui Invitational before is Arizona. So if it's not the Wildcats, it'll be a first-time winner.
So this is like the Maui. You had the Maui Classic, and then you had the other one. Because the Chaminade didn't play in this one. They played in another one. They had another one out there.
Honolulu or something? I don't know.
The Honolulu Shootout? The Great Honolulu Shootout? That was the Great Alaskan Shootout. Can't have shootouts anymore.
No.
You can have showdowns.
I'm going through the history. Yeah, Chaminade has been in this one.
They have been in this one?
Mm-hmm. They're in 2019.
They used to host the tournament for years. That's when they knocked off Ralph Sampson in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Also in 18, 17... 16. Yeah, this is the one they've been in a bunch. Okay. Bro/G's. You said, don't be surprised if we lose one of these games. Sorry, you are out off with bro. G's.
What? Sorry, you don't. Sentence put together. The hell was that, dude? Come on, man.
This is from T-Money. Snead, you've seen McConaughey's double down on Bless the Mood? Bless his heart.
Oh, gosh. did he sing it again and get less response? That's the only thing that could be a double down that would work better.
I'll get this from Bullfighter. If y'all had a USFL team, what would you call it? I got Snead's covered, the 50 Cent Second Placers.
Unfortunately, that doesn't hurt today. So
that's good.
It does not hurt today, and because, I mean, literally yesterday, I could not breathe in without that impingement.
We were almost on red alert. Like, that's a big boy kicker there, number 92 from Missouri. Holy,
yeah, he's a big dude.
I mean, I was ready for the medics.
No, it was okay.
I was ready for the old ambulance. We were going down.
No, I'll be all right. It's okay. It's all right. I just, you know, just a little tweak. Nothing a little chiropractic visit and a little tramadol won't help. Got it taken care of.
We get this from the chat line. Speaking of Chaminade, they have a local guy from Shallow Water, an LCU transfer in Jalen Bratton. How about that?
At Chaminade? How about that? That's kind of cool.
Oh, I transferred to Chaminade.
Oh,
I transferred to Chaminade in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, that was we did, if you were a top basketball recruit, you know, where would you
go
take
visit?
Some visits?
That would be good.
You go to Hawaii and then come back, take another visit to Chaminade.
You just
keep going to Hawaii.
You get five visits.
Is there a Hawaii State?
I mean,
Hawaii A&M?
You get, Hawaii.
Northwestern Honolulu? I'm going to take six visits and they're all to the state of Hawaii.
Not bad. Not bad.
Oh, man. So we look at the rest of the Big 12 football schedule, Snead. Mm-hmm. Any of the games this week
jump out at you? Run through the games.
All right, so we got TCU at Baylor, Kansas State at West Virginia, Texas at Kansas. We're going to have Jared Casey circled on the whiteboard, baby.
You know, what the funny part about that is, that's going to be on the minds of every single Texas player going up there, that this team just went down there and shoved up your rear end last year. And you couldn't shake these guys. These guys that are a bunch of nobodies from nowhere came into the big house in Austin and beat you and made you look bad doing it too, by the way. And now you got to go to their place and they're playing better this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
coming off an awful offensive performance by the way.
And they're feeling like they should have got one here in Lubbock. No, they shouldn't have. Actually, they never really win that game.
And I will make the argument from what I've seen from Quinn Ewers, you play more consistent with that offense with Hudson Card.
Yeah.
If I'm Arch Manning in the building last week, I'm just licking my chops.
Keep running your $4 million man out there.
Yeah.
Keep running him out there. Hey, keep putting that Bugatti. Keep giving that guy more money.
The last game in the conference this week, Oklahoma State at Oklahoma.
Is a bedlam game. Could there be less interest in that game this year? Could there be less buzz,
less juice,
needle movement,
yeah,
less juice around a bedlam game? Last year, this game last year was
it meant who was going to go to the conference championship game.
This year, this game is talking about bowl eligibility for one of these teams.
Hilarious,
and it's not the team you think.
Yeah,
the sad part is that as bad as stink out loud bad that Oklahoma State's been the last month, they're still 7-3, right?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That tells you how good these guys were in the beginning of the season. These guys have been hammered dog trash, and they are still, you know, they still got an outside path to the conference championship game.
Speaking of hammered dog trash, there's the word dog in it. We'll have Kaylee's Dailies coming up at 45 along with Chris Lee.
I've previewed the Kaylee's Dailies this week. Mm-hmm. No dogs and no trash.
Mm, okay. But now it's time for Action Jackson's play of the day. Take it away.
Tied at 38, 3 seconds to go, 62-yard try. Garibay has his foot into it. It may be long enough. It is good! It is good! It is good! Jonathan Garibay has won the game with a 62-yard field goal! Oh, my God, can you believe that? Woo! Yeah, baby!
That ball came off his foot like a rocket.
Wow. Oh, that hurt, man. Wow. He didn't need any breeze behind him.
He might have kicked it out of the stadium with a breeze.
62 yards, and it was clear that it was going to make it. We just had to wait and see if it was between the uprights, and it was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good timing for that.
Yeah, it was.
That was good timing
for that. I'll tell you where I was. I was coming off the field of this game that we're watching right here, last week's Tennessee-Missouri. I was officiating this game, Tennessee at Missouri, coming off the field and getting into our van back to the stadium, up to our hotel. And I clicked on my phone, and I saw that Texas Tech wins with a 62-yard field goal. It literally just happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And I turned on the postgame show. They were still celebrating in the postgame show.
Mm-hmm. Hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You know what's funny about that game last year is this week now you look, and of course Baron Morton's still out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expected to be Tyler Shuck. I don't think he did anything, obviously, to lose his spot from what he did against Kansas in the starting spot this week. But you look at the, would it be Shuck, would it be Smith? You look at the thing about Donovan Smith, the games that he played well last year, this was one of his best two. Very clearly, it was this one in Mississippi State. As far as last season. Now, different offense and all that stuff. And I'm not trying to make an argument of it should be Smith over Shuck, but just interesting.
Yeah.
You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Back for one more with Captain Nate Rube. Going all the way up to 3 o'clock today.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That music means time for the fastest growing game show in the world, Take versus Take. Bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jeff McGuire and Jackson Frazier behind the glass taking care of us. Your competitors today, myself and Jackson. Jeff has the questions. Jackson, how competitive are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. Feeling like I'll go a 6.1.
I'll be honest, I'm a little thrown off. I just saw the doubling down of the Matthew McConaughey Bless the Mood, where it's a full song and like a full band in studio. I don't know where to go from there. That was something.
Well, why don't you let me ask the question?
Yeah.
And you won't have to figure out where you're going, because I will tell you where you're going.
That's perfect. Help me
out. You ready? I have a sports question. I have a video game question.
Mm-hmm.
And by rule, I have a food question. So we will start with the sports question, and I will start with Clint Scott.
Okay.
We all have our favorite day in sports. Your favorite team wins a championship. You were at a game with your dad. Whatever the situations, you have your favorite. What is your least favorite sports day?
Man, my least favorite sports day, it's hard, even though I wasn't like at the game. I had built up, even though I knew that the offensive line was dinged up, I knew that they needed a little bit of help defensively still. But the Chiefs Super Bowl loss, where they were just getting obliterated, by the Buccaneers, and just watching Patrick Mahomes literally be Superman on the field, making humanly impossible plays for anybody. And he's going out there, going vertical to the ground, throwing perfect strikes, hitting guys in the face mask, just drop after drop after drop. I mean, mm-hmm. him looking like he was playing LSU in a bowl game again, just running around. And it's just, as a fan, I kept telling myself, because you've seen the Chiefs do it before, and I knew this was different, but at the same time, I was going, they'll come back. They'll at least get back into this game. It's like kind of like waiting for that moment. And it was just like gut punch after gut punch after gut punch. And watching the best quarterback in the league right now do everything he can just to keep his team afloat at the championship.
And no one wanted to help him.
No one wanted to help him. Was disgusting.
That's a good one.
And then you had the defender throwing the peace sign back into Tyreek Hill's face. Totally deserved. But I was like, this is no fun.
Jackson?
I don't know if this one will get me the point. And it's kind of a little bit different, because in the moment, it probably wasn't like the saddest day, but looking back on it, it's probably caused the most pain, I guess.
That's usually how the real pain happens. And in the moment, you're just kind of in shock, and then it just consumes you like a black hole.
And I would say that would be the day that the Mavericks let Tyson Chandler walk away, because they have never been able... They've never had anybody like him ever since. And that he was the main reason they won a championship. And they ruined the end of Dirk's kind of like still good enough to do things years. And the fact, and I mean, Tyson wouldn't still be there now with Luka, but they still have that same problem today.
Yeah.
See, I'm torn here, because my worst sports day was in 2008 in Norman, Oklahoma. In a game that you were riding high going into. And then before the first quarter is over, you know that your dream is over. And now you just get pummeled for the next three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dealing with a guy who lost the Super Bowl and a guy who just came off of an NBA championship and then the team imploded. But the thing is, they have their Super Bowl. They haven't gotten close over there. At all over there.
Well, they were just coming off of the...
They were just... Right, but since that day that Chandler was gone, I think I got to give Jackson the point here, that they've made the playoffs. It's hard for me to say you losing the Super Bowl when you are a Kansas football fan. Your worst loss was in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's because
or not in the national championship.
The Kansas Jayhawks, they're not bad losses. Well, this past decade, they were all just expected.
Or it was like, maybe in the NCAA tournament in the first round to the Shockers.
We actually beat South Dakota State. Oh, that Shocker lost. I was trying to stay away from the Kansas basketball one because I'll just go into a tunnel.
Hard for me to feel sorry for you losing a Super Bowl.
Every time it didn't end up with the national championship. The Auburn year where they just couldn't miss. Villanova in the Final Four.
All of those would have been better. Jackson! We move on to the video game question now.
Okay.
Question number two, Jackson, what is the best video game sequel? And if you just want to use your favorite, that's an acceptable answer too.
Yeah, I think I have a handful that like quickly pop up in my head that I could feel confident answering, but I'm just going to go with the one that I've played the most and I had the most fun with, and that's Halo. I got
my... Which one?
Well, the whole, like, I guess the, all of them, right?
Well, we're looking for the best sequel. Like, not the first one. It's like, we're not talking Pac-Man, Pac-Man. We're just talking Miss Pac-Man here. We're not talking Mario 1, 2, 3, 64 World. We're talking just Mario 3.
Then yeah, Halo 3.
Halo 3?
That's a good answer. Halo Reach 3. Was pretty close.
I grew up... When I got my Xbox and, like, when I was, like, 5 or 6, it came with one game and it was the original Halo, and so I've always played Halo, and Halo 3 was like probably the first game I had like live so I could play with other people, and I played that like from the time I'd get home from school to the time I'd go to bed, like every day.
Clint Scott.
So I'm deciding between the cop-out answer and probably the answer that I should, because technically NCAA 14 is a sequel and it's the best sports game of all time. It's the only thing that's got the mechanics mostly correct. I mean, there's still stuff that's like, maybe, and then the college aspect just made it so fun.
That would be a cop out.
See what I mean?
That would get, now if it was NCAA 14 too.
Right, exactly.
Then maybe I would let you go with NCAA 14. That's a cop out.
So I'm going to go with the game that I think dominated my PlayStation 2 for most of the mid 2000s, and that's Star Wars Battlefront 2. I don't even remember playing Star Wars Battlefront. I didn't even know there was a Star Wars Battlefront. And me and all of my friends getting together and having all of the same wars they had in the Star Wars universe running around. And by the way, I thought this was a great case of the first time. I thought the graphics were incredible. It's like, I'm in the Star Wars universe. And I went and busted it out like 10
you
years
are
later.
Not in the Star Wars universe.
I was like, I can't even see what's happening on the screen. I feel so old. But that game, I killed so many hours on it. I didn't get a run around. By the way, Team Darth Maul is who I would always run around. He was the quickest.
If you want to have fun, saber. They remastered it.
I haven't played the remaster yet. I need to.
I am only partially swayed on the Star Wars answer, but he's right. Battlefront 2 was fantastic. It really, really was. And I had all those same feelings. All right, so very quickly, we move on to our question number 3. For all the marbles, you and your buddies are at your favorite wing place, mm-hmm. whichever wing place you want to go with. And your buddy orders the extreme rip your tongue off flavor wings.
Okay.
And looks at you like, let's do this. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I know I am not going to hang. I'm just not. And usually the person who does that confidently has either, one, done it before or done something like it before and knows his heat tolerance. I love spicy food, but I also know when I'm outmatched.
Sure.
But
you're going.
I'm gonna try. And let's say if it's the classic, what it's like. Can you finish these 6? Because it's not ever a big number of them. Typically, when they're like the extra hot.
Yeah.
I'm probably getting through three.
But you're going.
I'm getting through three, dying the entire time. Just like, where's the ice? Where's the ranch? Give me the ranch. Who has milk? Like, all of that. But I'm at least trying.
Okay. Jackson?
Because I have before.
Well, sure. No, that's fine.
This is off experience.
Knowing limitations is fine.
I'm asking him if us finishing it means that we would, like, win money or something.
No, no. He's just being him.
Oh, then
like,
no.
We all have that friend, yeah. Right? And sometimes we are that friend.
Then no. I might, like, try the sauce just to, like, try it. But no, I'm not eating it. I'm not a big... I like spicy food when I feel like the spice is necessary to the meal. But I don't like just trying to get the spiciest thing because it's the spiciest thing.
Jackson wins the point because the correct answer is, no, no, you've made your own mistake. I'm going to get what I came here to order because I came here for food. You came here to die. Neither one of these sound appealing. I'm going to go with the food.
I'm assuming at this point that they're paying for it because it was their idea.
No, no, no.
And I'm also getting my order and eating it first. Like, I'm eating what I came to eat first, knocking that out.
Jackson gets the point.
I'm going any
the
sort
correct
of,
answer was.
Any sort of Cajun spice wing or regular buffalo wing. Preferably the combo of the two. Every once in a while, like an Asian zing.
Sure.
Sing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm eating all that, and then I will try it.
We all have that friend, right? Like, I'm describing him, and you guys all immediately know who I'm talking about, right? And we don't all know the same people. A friend of mine would always do that. He's like, let's do this. I'm like, you do this. I'm going to get the barbecue and be fine.
The thing is like, part of me, though, is... Even if they didn't say that and they're like, I'm doing the challenge, man. I'm
good
like,
luck.
Are you going to finish all of them? Because I kind of want to try one. I just want to know how hot it is, right? I want to know how my curiosity will kill me.
No, okay.
It will. Like a cat. Curiosity like a cat. Because I want to know how bad it truly is. My mind will race until I know. You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jeff McGuire and Jackson Frazier, the dynamic duo fresh out the studio. You too, because Jackson makes the sick beats and...
Oh, gotcha.
You rizzity rap over him.
Yeah, except I'm not, but okay. Jamie's the rapper.
He's got... Like,
I don't know why you keep thinking I'm the rapper.
Well, you guys are rival rappers.
We're
Jeffy
really
Mack versus
not.
Lil Crouton is the hottest feud in 2022.
I mean, let's
Haven't
be honest,
you
forgot about Jay, me.
Boo. Boo. It is time now for Jeff's question of the day.
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
So you have given some parameters for us. You're telling us in the break.
Right. I'm not looking for a specific answer.
Okay.
On this. More of a philosophy on how you would attack this. You are now the head coach of, in this case, the Texas Tech football team.
Okay.
It could be, in theory, any college. Okay. If you wanted to be the head coach of the Kansas football team, you can be.
C.S. Lesterton has a proud tradition of football.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not saying you're replace. I'm just, you are the now head coach.
Our best play is we actually, when the ref isn't looking, we replace the football with just a banana. And they're like, this isn't a football, this is a banana. And they look up, and we're in the end zone. Except it's the manager who scored. C.S. Lesterton trickeration, baby.
Okay, back to the real question. You're in charge of recruiting.
Okay.
What is your recruiting philosophy? What are your goals for the recruiting class every year?
Well, in today's age, I still believe in the building a program with your guys, even now with the real possibility that a percentage of them aren't going to be here by the time they're even a junior. Let alone
right.
a senior. Like, they're just not. You're not going to maintain everybody. But I still believe in putting the time, putting the effort, getting... obviously, the base answer is getting as good of players as you can. But it doesn't matter if you're getting 3 stars, 5 stars, 2 stars. Guys that want to be in the program and then guys that you can develop and want to be developed. And I'm also, depending on where you are, like I'm doing, or at least aiming to what everyone should want to do, and that is absolutely control your area. Like, don't let the best players around you leave home without a fight, you know? And the back part of that, too, is after you get those guys, I still am sprinkling in transfers. And I think that you can see, depending on where you are, now this is, if it's just basic philosophy, if the philosophy is for a team that you're trying to turn around, I mean, you've seen it work. The problem is you can't just go, boy, I'm getting all of these seniors who couldn't make it over there, all these sophomores who got kicked, you know, insert transfer option. You can't just go super heavy, but you've seen, and this is part of what's made the Kansas Jayhawks super good. They had 15 transfers who were playing significant time, along with guys that Leipold is trying to kind of develop.
Yeah, and they've been there for 2 years.
Dude, you got to be in the right spot. It starts with that, fundamentals, all of that. But you've still used the transfer portal. It just wasn't all transfers that you were putting your money in. So if I'm going basic philosophy, I'm going guys that want to be there. I'm going guys that I feel like we can develop. I'm not letting them leave home. And then I'm sprinkling some transfers in there for some immediate position help that you're going to develop to.
Jackson.
So I start out in the trenches for sure. That's my number one.
As a former offensive lineman, I understand where he's coming from here.
Also respect the...
like him. Like him first. Being the offensive lineman, yeah. Not me.
As
him.
And that's... if when we're going for the highest rated recruits, the guys we're going at, that's the guys, offensive and defensive line. I think that's where you start a team at any time is there, because I think a really good offensive line can overshadow position groups. But even an elite position grouping quarterback can't really overshadow a bad offensive line. And so... that's what I'm going to try to, you know, solidify first. And then after that, I'm going for more tangible things, you know, speed. But I'm also looking for like a gritty tough too. I want players that love football and that aren't trying to, you know, maybe go to school because that's like what they feel like. I want players that want to play football, you know, if that makes sense. Like, you can tell that really love football. It doesn't matter if they were coming on a full ride or not. They just care about playing.
They want to put a helmet on. They want to put shoulder pads on. They want to go hit somebody in those pads.
Exactly. And that's kind of for all positions. And then I want smart football players, people that understand the game, like really high football IQ across all positions. Being able to have that communication between players that like know what they're talking about is huge. And so I guess that would be like my main three is I want smart, gritty, and fast. But first overall is offensive and defensive line.
Those are solid answers.
Who gets the point?
Huh? There's not a point on this one.
That's what we want to know. Who wins?
I'm going to attack it just a little bit differently with regards to this particular question. Yeah, there's a lot of what you said that goes into my answer, though, with regards to wanting people to be here. I want football players, guys that would play football every day of their lives if they were given the opportunity, the want to be here, the fit your system, all of that that goes into it. Offensive line, defensive line are absolutely part of what the McGuire, me, recruiting program would include. But the other thing that I would also include, and this would be every year, you get 25 scholarships a year to hand out. Mm-hmm. How many starters are there on a college football team between offense and defense?
22 total.
There's 22 total right there. You're recruiting one player at least at every position, which means every year I'm recruiting five offensive linemen. Every year I'm recruiting three or four defensive linemen, depending on which defensive format we'll be running. I'm recruiting three or four linebackers every year. I'm recruiting three or four wide receivers every year. That the goal is to get them in the class. The only position that I wouldn't take one every single year, and this would get me in trouble if I was at Texas Tech, would be quarterback. My quarterback goes every other year. Because we know, and I say this, that it's the hardest position to keep a guy in. If you've got one guy who's a sophomore, and then he's a junior, and you bring in a freshman behind him, the freshman behind him can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Junior plays really well. He leaves the NFL. I'm starting next year. He doesn't play very well. I've got one more year to go. Like, there's a finite time that you are looking at this guy to take over the offense. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he's been in the offense for 2 years, so he knows what to expect. This doesn't count your specialists necessarily in this list. This also doesn't fix holes. If you've got guys that leave, if you've got guys that get drafted, whatever the situation is, that's where I would use the transfer portal and really attack those positions at those groups. But the ultimate idea is every single year, I'm throwing five offensive linemen into my system and getting them ready to go.
So I like the heavy offensive line, and I like looking there first. You and I completely disagree on the quarterback stuff. And I'll tell you why. Because
if you only had two quarterbacks on your roster this year, you're in trouble if you're a Tech.
And it's not just Tech.
It's across the country.
And you would like to think with the basic recipe of also forming competition, iron sharpens iron, on top of the need with injury and with – I mean, there's nothing to say you got a junior quarterback who looks back and you're bringing a freshman. Still nothing that says that even – he'd never leave. He's a diehard insert university.
Sure, yeah. He may be goes, why are you reporting this guy?
You know what? I actually do want to transfer, so good luck with him.
Sure. And that's also why I'm not recruiting anybody that doesn't want to put a helmet on, shoulder pants, and go hit somebody, that doesn't want to be part of the program, that isn't ready to give what we need them to give to be part of the program. And it's all of that goes into it.
But I think what you've seen, and this goes across all sports, as committed and as from basketball to football to baseball, guys I want to put on the pads, guys I want to put on the jerseys, sometimes you can get lulled.
Oh, sure. That's also why I'm recruiting one of every position every year. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if I was a Major League Baseball general manager, I'm drafting my first five rounds every year a pitcher. Whether they become a starter or a closer or a reliever or whatever the situation is, if one of those guys a year turns out to be a stud, I've got my rotation. Mm-hmm. Don't have to worry about it. If two of those guys turns out to be a stud, oh no, whatever will I do with an extra starting pitcher in Major League Baseball? I need a shortstop. Anybody need a starting pitcher? I need a shortstop. I can't imagine anybody wanting to make that trade.
So what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line? Get your thoughts, comments, and questions there when we come back for hour number three. We will get some of your thoughts from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Back with more next right here on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is once again time to play Little No Diggity. You've got the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jeffy Mack and J6. Mafia behind the glass, taking care of us. It's that time of day where I throw out a certain situation to today, Jeff Jackson, and you are fine, listening audience, and with their digitometers, they tell us just how much diggity a certain situation has. I already have a feeling, somehow, a sneaking suspicion of what Jeff's digitometer might read. Did you calibrate it last night in anticipation of today?
No.
Oh, so it could be thrown off. Who knows what it's going to read? Maybe I'm way wrong. What was that?
Hush. Not sure what that was, actually. Are we boring you? No, I was trying.
Hey, don't mind me. I'm just going to go down a YouTube rabbit hole over here. You do the rest of the show.
I'm trying to get the chat line, and that's not the chat line that opened up.
I'm going to go look up other disease commercials.
Yeah, that's oddly enough, that's what that was.
That annoyed me.
Sorry.
Hey, man, nothing is everything. That's what they say. I do want to go to the Dallas Cowboys with their matchup against the Vikings. They are 8-1, and this is in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
The Cowboys' defense has started to get exposed.
Started?
And you mentioned, I do think the realization has really been there over the past 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That's when it started.
Because you have to separate, it's a great pass rush defense from a great defense.
Yes.
Right? Still leading the league in sacks, all that. But statistically, When you go to the ground defense, I think fifth worst.
It's not good, Bob.
It's not good. And they have just been, even in a big win over the Bears, from there and then the loss to the Packers, I mean, just gashed on the ground. And you look at a Vikings squad.
Not your Viking.
Not my Viking.
Different Viking. Like, these are the people, the purple people eaters.
Yeah, and they have an effective running game.
Yep.
It's not going to light the league on fire.
But effective.
But effective. When you look at this matchup, oh, by the way, I mean, Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and all of those dudes on offense making plays. They're coming off a win in Buffalo. Overtime, Kirk Cousins still rocking the chains. Kirk Cousins still dancing away this season. Just having a fantastic time. And why wouldn't you? If you're also, when you look in the conference that you're in with the NFC, what is your confidence level going into Minnesota? You know what? We'll just word it this way. The Dallas Cowboys go into Minnesota and get a win.
It broke.
George, no diggity. You're so confident.
No, no. So it's much spinning. Diggity that it broke. There's so much diggity that it broke. No confidence in this Cowboys team right now. You've got a quarterback who's turning the ball over, which is part of what really made Cooper Rush successful was he wasn't turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. And the one game he did, they lost. The games he didn't, they won. Why? Because you were putting the other teams into a position where they had to pass. They couldn't afford to just ram it, run it down your throat because you weren't handing them the ball on your own 35 or on your own 40 because you forgot that number 20 was playing for the Green Bay Packers. I think it was number 20. I'm having nightmares, flashbacks about this. That, you know, twice. It felt like on the same drive even. It wasn't, but it was the drive right afterwards. And you can't make bonehead decisions. And that's what Dak Prescott has been doing the last couple of weeks, exposing your run defense because you haven't been able to play your style of game.
And, I mean, a big part, too, was you mentioned the turnovers, but those turnovers happened early. In the second half, your offense was just held ineffective at times. I mean...
Well, because you had to pass because you were down.
No, when you go to the Green Bay game, when you're sitting up 28-14,
oh yeah,
the offense couldn't take control. I mean, going into the fourth quarter, this was a choke the life out of this Green Bay team opportunity. Do what a team that's going to make a playoff run should be able to do and completely control. I mean, 14 points in the NFL, college feels a little bit different, right? In the NFL, 14 points feels like a mountain.
10 feels like a mountain. Yes. In the NFL. And the other side of all, the other fact that goes into all of this is, as a Cowboy fan, there's two quarterbacks I hate facing. One of them is Tom Brady. Never beaten a Tom Brady team.
Gotcha again this year.
Every year. It never beaten in the history of the world. Tom Brady, if he could play against the Dallas Cowboys every year, would be undefeated. Like, all time. Never beaten Tom Brady's team. The other quarterback, I don't care if he's down by 35 points in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you did exactly that if you're the Cowboys. You literally handed them this win.
And so now, I know, if Josh is listening, he's going to love this. Because I'm curious now.
Where are you at? Hang on. I've given my where I broke my digitometer. Where are you at?
I'm at a 25% diggity. Like, I don't feel great, but I'm not just completely ruling out that they do go and beat Minnesota.
He's crazy. What do you guys?
Because I don't think Minnesota's a perfect team by any means. But do I feel great about going up against the one of the two best teams in the NFC on the road? No. But I'm still think Dallas has a good team. They just have things that they obviously need to work on. And still, because a lot of it, too, just look like confusion on gap assignment sometimes from the defensive line. Like, two guys going into the same place, and then a running back has a 10-foot hole to run. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, that's assignment issues. That's not getting blown off the ball and just saying, boy, gosh, we have a terrible defensive line. That's a scheme, knowing what you're doing.
Might I remind you of something? Hmm. That was off the bye.
Yeah.
They had 2 weeks to prepare for that game.
That's a bad point. I mean, a good point, but it doesn't make you feel
better. 2 weeks to prepare for Aaron Rodgers. And nah, you have it. It's okay. Yeah. We didn't need this game.
And Aaron Rodgers' Green Bay Packers team, that was reeling.
Yep.
And 2 weeks. Still, at times, in the game against Dallas, as he's screaming at the head coach, still reeling in the game. I mean, that one was not great.
Nope.
Sorry. I know I'm just...
Oh, yeah, you're just beating this. Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shoving the shiv into the wound that's already there, really twisting it.
And yeah, you're not the only Kansas fan to do that to me this week. So, yeah. Mm.
Sorry. What's your digitometer saying in there?
Now I'm going to get it from a Philly fan. I can appreciate it.
Dick Rocks, Philly boy, just telling that.
That's I'm going to sit at like, I'm going to go 33% diggity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the right way. I think that they really could. I think they have a very capable team to beat the Vikings. They just have to play a good game, offense and defense. They have to have a complete game. And I just don't know if they can do that because they haven't really done that the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with how good the Vikings are. Justin Jefferson, you have seen him be able to get shut down so far this season. Like the Eagles did it. He had 3 catches or for like 20 yards against the Eagles and basically until that last drive. But if he can start beating Trayvon on like double plays and deep routes, it might be a long.
Well, the other side too, I'd have to look and right. The issue we're coming with too is the Dallas rushing defense, right? That's the bad part. And as you mentioned, I mean, Dak Prescott made some mistakes clearly, but
that led to them.
But when I look at who's leading the Vikings, and this may be, I don't know. I look at Kirk Cousins and what has he been in his career? Incredibly average, right?
Yep.
I would have to look up and down his tenure in the NFL, but this feels like far and away his best. First 8-9 game stretch that he's had. Fair?
Yeah.
I mean, again, without just going and just diving into the numbers.
This feels like one of his, if it's not his best one, it's one of his better ones.
I've also seen what this same similar Viking squad has done and choked away in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't know, and maybe this is misplaced mistrust. I'm waiting for the bottom to fall out from the Vikings just a little bit. Not all the way down spiral where they lose the next 8, but maybe a couple games in there.
Well, what I think helps them has been their defense. Their defense is like underrated, I would just period, I guess. They're very sneaky. They're very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been able to help them at times because Dalvin Cook, like we're scared about, the Cowboys are scared about the run defense. But Dalvin Cook really, had a few good games. But other than that, I mean, average.
You're going over what you've seen from the past with Dalvin Cook when he had really good season and would have injured plague seasons and going back and forth. I agree. I mean, that's why I said it's not just a blow the doors off rushing attack from Minnesota. But they know what they're doing.
Yep.
And right now it feels like that's what it takes.
That's all it takes against the Cowboys right now. Have a general concept of what you may or may not want to do.
So what you think on the 8th Flooring Center chat line, a couple of reactions.
Involves a running back.
We'll go there next. You've got the bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Time for the most interesting fact of the day brought to you by Dos Equis. You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jeff McGuire and Jackson Frazier. 10 more minutes with us if you want to continue your live and local coverage at that time. Switch over to Double T 97.3 for Tech Talk. At 6 o'clock, it's Red Raider football with Joey McGuire over there on Double T 97.3. Tonight featuring the specialists. At 6 o'clock right here, 100.7 The Score. It is Thursday Night Football, the Tennessee Titans at the Green Bay Packers. Packers trying to make it 2 wins in a row. Been tough for them to do that. It's been tough for them to do 1 in a row this season until last week.
Yep.
All right, I'm done.
I'm not afraid to knock another cactus over.
Here's a quick question about that game, though, tonight. Because – if the Packers win, they're
Oh, who I'm rooting for tonight?
No. If the Packers win tonight and beat the Titans and beat a salty Titans squad, a very tough, gritty Titans squad that just win gross old school football games, exactly how Vrabel drew it up. But if they win and they're sitting at 5-6, does your view on the Packers change a little bit? Because now they've got two, what I would consider, good wins.
They may have righted their ship at the right time of the season. Mm-hmm. But I will be absolutely rooting for the Packers tonight.
Over the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Why's that?
Because I was a Houston Oilers fan. That team? Mm-hmm. That it's not quite to the extent of the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Because I can respect Eagles ownership and coaches and players. That team is dead to me. Mm. And has been since they moved.
I gotcha. Jeff.
Yes.
You're great at the guessing games. We're going to give Jackson a chance first because I think you're going to, no offense, Jackson, I wouldn't be able to get this, but I think Jeff's going to have a better shot.
I'm shocked. I don't even know where we're going with this. I'm scared.
There's three countries. See, you perked up as soon as I said that. That's
why.
There's three countries that have a dragon on their flag. Jackson, what three countries are they?
Arkansas.
Correct. That is a correct answer in this station.
Honestly, couldn't even guess.
I know. See, that's what I was leading into, and I think Jeff will at least have a guess.
Are we counting Taiwan? I don't think Taiwan does.
They're not one of the three.
Laos?
No.
Cambodia?
No. One more guess. Final X.
Places I know it's not. Japan, South Korea.
Correct.
North Korea.
It's going to be a lot longer China. If you go through all of the flags that you know it's not. Mexico, United States.
I'm assuming it's an Oriental Canada. Country. So I'm eliminating countries in the Orient area.
France, Spain, Australia.
Thailand?
No. Huh. We have Bhutan, Wales.
Whale? Malta. Oh,
how could you miss Wales?
God. No, it's the wrong dragon. I'm thinking like of course Wales would have a dragon. That makes perfect sense. I would never have gotten it, but that one wasn't even contemplating Old English dragon.
The whale is offended that they chose a dragon over a whale.
I think the whale would just like them to stop being hunted by whales. So, you know.
Did you know?
Probably not.
Heinz ketchup exits its glass bottle at 0.028 miles per hour, which is around the same speed as the average snail.
I think I did hear that. I didn't like the number, but it comes out at a snail's pace. Mm-hmm. And also, you need to, the 57 on the bottle, I think, mm-hmm. is where you put your thumb when you're holding it, to hold it at the right angle for the vacuum to not get stuck as much.
How about that? There's a page that I'll see every once in a while. It's like items you've been using wrong this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It always blows my mind. The one that got me the other day is you're supposed to take the salt and pepper shaker, right? And you flip it upside down. So if you want salt, it's obviously facing down. But instead of just there shaking it and you're struggling more usually I guess the one that ours struggles with is the pepper. You don't just sit there and just shake it. You use the other shaker on top and there's the ridges. And you just kind of rotate it on there and it just falls out. And I tried it with ours and I was like, you little.
Oh,
blew my mind.
I see. I have a pepper grinder, so.
Or you can do that.
I don't.
But if you're at a restaurant, if you're at a cafe or something.
Oddly enough,
pull out a pocket pepper grinder, I'm going to judge
you. No. Like, at a restaurant, I don't use a lot of salt or pepper when I go. Mm. As it comes out is usually how I eat it.
I'm just a pepper fan. I'm one. Now, if you have to use salt, you're probably at the wrong place. You need a little flavor back there. But I do like extra pepper, so it works for me for that. Anyways, fun little. If you have plenty of those,
well, you can push it real good.
I'll have my mind blown anytime. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, and then cut back to the dude throwing the frisbee. I wish I was different.
Yeah.
That's funny. For a digitometer reaction, we have a 50-50 chance. There you go.
Hmm.
Halfway.
I wish I was that up on this Cowboys team, right? And listen, they can go in there and they can beat Minnesota, and I'll be swinging the other direction. That's just how that's going to go. Like, because, holy cow, you figured out your problems, and you're going to your Thanksgiving game where you're 3-7 in your last 10 games. But, yeah, we always play well on, except that we don't on Thanksgiving. The myth of my team is better than my team.
Mm.
I hate that.
We get this. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. You broke my digitometer with that scenario. I'm with Jeff. No confidence in Dallas. Time to move on from Dak.
No, I'm not moving on from Dak. I think Dak is the better quarterback. I think Dak is a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's also a quarterback who is pushing and trying to be someone he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to be someone you're not in the NFL, you get exposed very quickly.
I stand by the best version of Dak Prescott that you saw was his first year. I mean, he took care of the ball more. It was more of a condensed offense.
He was pretty good
last year. It was more of
a condensed.
As far as matched up with this defense, with what you need, that version would be better.
I mean, let's not forget, Dak's first year was the best offensive line the Cowboys had had in Tony Romo's tenure, and it killed him.
True.
So he had all of the protection. And I don't know how it worked for Dak and it didn't work for Tony, but that's what happened. And you had a running back that was built for an aging quarterback, and you had wide receivers who were built for your quarterback, and you had your tight ends that were built. Like, that offense was built to win immediately.
And I get that, but if you did not using Cooper Rush as the quarterback, but if you did the Cooper Rush approach and he makes those one or two plays that Cooper Rush can't,
that is
a better viable option for the Cowboys.
And I'm not saying he's a bus driver, because he is better than a bus driver.
Yes.
He's like a luxury bus driver. Like, he can do the be that guy.
The Hummer limos?
No.
You guys keep it down back there.
No. He's like there's always that one truck driver, right, that can back his trailer into places that other people go, there's no way that gets there.
Jackson.
No, I'm talking like big rig, like 18-wheeler.
The drunk tractor guy on the beach.
Yeah, that guy's a perfect, not every tractor guy can do that, but that guy in the tractor can. That's the guy who Dak is. He can be the quote-unquote bus driver, but you know that man got skills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just driving the bus, but that bus is perfect. That bus stops where it needs to stop within a quarter of an inch of itself. And you sit there and you just awe in the majesty of that bus driver, because he's special. He's not just a bus driver. That's where Dak is. He's at the very high end of that bus driver. He can make the plays that not other bus drivers can make.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not, insert almost every other quarterback in the NFL above him right now. And it's not close.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for hanging out with us for 3 hours. Thanks to Jackson.
I was only here for two.
Thanks to Captain Steve Rue. Thanks only 2 hours worth of Jeff McGuire.
That's right.
He's going to go back in the lab.
Or blame for what happened before I got here.
He's going to go back in the lab and come out with some tracks for us.
No, I'm really, really not.
Jackson's got some beats for him. Ready for it.
I don't think he does.
Jeffy Mack back on the track. We'll have more of The Bottom Line tomorrow, a Friday edition. We'll see you then. Turn over to TT97.3 for Tech Talk.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.